T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine?
Guest studio on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Dramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it. Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. It all keeps adding up. I think I'm cracking up. Am I just paranoid? Am I just stuck?
It's Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and now it's time to bring on Jason Munns. We have a lot to talk about. We missed yesterday for obvious reasons, but he joins us today at Munsley on Twitter, Tiger Basketball Beat Reporter for the CA, the Commercial Appeal. Jason, how are you holding up? How's it hanging?
Gabe, I just want to point out before we get started that that song, I had nothing to do with the song selection today for the intro there. That's definitely not how I feel. That song called Basket Case in the last 48 hours have definitely not made me feel like a basket case. I swear it. I swear that Connor picked that song. It was not me. I will promise that to anybody.
So you don't feel like a basket case,
Brutus?
Sarcasm font was on that whole time. Yeah, man. Like this, you know. Like I've been. This is now my fourth off season to cover Tiger basketball, and you know, like. It's every one of them is very unique and very, you know, fill in the blank, very, very, very wild, shall we say.
Yes,
and this
yes.
one, this one, you know, like it defies description, honestly. Like it's been almost immediate from the minute the season ended up until now, and it's just like, whew, it's never dull.
No, it's not.
It's never dull.
It is not. So The timeline of this week for you has been very interesting. You reached out to DeAndre's mother, and she gave you a certain answer. And then the next day, what was it, about 20 minutes before you were about to come on with me yesterday? I think we got the Doc Holiday, of course, dropped the statement from DeAndre and his lawyer. I'm blown away that this is really in the books right this second for Penny and this staff at the moment.
Yeah.
But when did you start to catch wind of it? Like how early did you start to catch wind of DeAndre potentially trying to find another year?
I could screenshot you some receipts from before the season even ended where I was reaching out to people close to him, like trying with all my might to verify that he did not have any eligibility left. And it does. It truly stretches back to, like, honestly, I remember having a conversation about his – like situation on the floor at SMU, which I believe was the next to last regular season game, It was the same game where the roof was leaking, like pregame,
right?
And everything. And I can picture it like it was yesterday. And I was having these discussions, like, are we sure? Are you guys sure DeAndre Williams does not have any eligibility left? Like, is there no way to get him another year? Because I'm doing the math, I'm crunching the numbers. This is only his fourth season, and I was assured across the board from sources inside the program and sources close to DeAndre that he was done and he was not going to entertain the possibility of coming back. Well, so then, you know, fast forward to, I guess it was maybe a week ago or so. Jason and John had a discussion about it on their show. Yeah, right, exactly. They sort of hinted at a possibility, you know, didn't mention any names or whatever, but there was that Penny might be working on something. And so I started checking with people, and people were telling me, hey, you know, don't be surprised. And so I started to talk to people on the athletic department side who assured me that he was out of eligibility. I even sent out a text to my text group that with a quote from a source that said, it was, quote, no eligibility left, with, I think, 2 exclamation points. And I think technically that is true.
I think that's
what makes all this so difficult. It's not like it's not the back and forth and take away the fact that, you know, he's going to be, if he comes back, he's going to be 27 years old and this and that, like, take all that away. It's just such a crazy set of circumstances, because he is, as we sit here today, out of eligibility. It would require a appeal for reconsideration. It would require, if that doesn't work, it would then require a formal waiver request submission. And, you know, like, it has been so crazy. But the truth of the matter is, this has been on my radar since, like, late February.
I was talking to Connor about this. It would have been fun to get you on the show for, like, 3 minutes. This drops.
And, I know.
And you have to hang up the phone. All right, guys. We're going to have to reschedule.
I know. I thought about that. I actually thought about going on ahead and coming on with you guys yesterday, but that was before.
Ship sail.
It was like, what I thought I could do is I thought I could get Don Jackson on the phone and get it knocked out before I came on. And it got to like 2 or 3 minutes ahead of time. And I texted you while I was on the phone, or I texted Connor while I was on the phone with him and said, I'm just not going to be able to make it work. So, It has been just a crazy, crazy thing the last week or so. But that's all, that part's in the past, and we look forward and we'll see where this crazy train goes.
I'm not gonna call it the craziest offseason of the Penny Hardaway era, but when we talk about him
not
pulling
with the, not
strings.
With the 5-star recruit and the.
But when we talk about him pulling strings, this absolutely takes the cake. Like, this is the top. This is the peak. This is the pinnacle.
It feels it certainly I'm not as well versed on the history of the program as a lot of people, but I cannot imagine there's ever been a time where the star player who will turn 27 in October is appealing to get a year back that was a year in residence all the way back in 2018. This is singular. This is one of one.
Could you sort of, just for clarification purposes, explain what year in residence is? Obviously, he was a partial qualifier or non-qualifier when he got to Evansville, but what? The clock starts ticking, from what I understand, and there's nothing you can really do at that moment to turn it back.
Essentially, he was the terminology that I have been told, academic non-qualifier is part of it. Also, delayed enrollment is part of it. And the year in residence, the reason why that season counts is because it was essentially a penalty for, you know, delayed enrollment.
Yeah.
And listen, like, I wrote a story about it back during the season. It's been written about. It's been talked about. His route to Memphis or to Evansville has been, nobody would wish that sort of thing on their worst enemy. Like the level of like him being sort of misled and not, I wouldn't say taken advantage of, but just he put his trust in the wrong people and it cost him dearly. And, you know, he fought and scratched and clawed valiantly to get to the point where he could even enroll in college. But because of all the stuff that led up to his first year at Evansville, it resulted in a delayed enrollment, and they call it a year in residence, and it's a penalty for the delayed enrollment, and there you have it. So that's why that year counts. He didn't play. It's not a redshirt year. It's not a COVID year. Like, you want to know the truth about it. The season he played just this past season, where he was an all AAC first teamer, that was his COVID season, technically.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, so like, it is not for the faint of heart, this story.
Right. So, prep school coach potentially led him astray. Evansville coach fired. I think there was Title IX stuff. With all of that being said, what are your immediate thoughts on the case and the case he has? Like, I'm not asking for a full prediction on what happens. I don't think anybody can predict what's going to happen. But based on what Don Jackson has said, what you've heard from him, what do you think about that year and what the NCAA thinks about it ultimately?
Well, yeah. So I've talked to Don at length about this, Don Jackson, and then I've also talked to people who know this space.
And by the way, Don Jackson is DeAndre's legal counsel, same legal counsel that Penny had through IARP.
Yes, the same sports attorney who successfully, helped Penny navigate his way through the NCAA investigation. And so because of that, when I talked to Don Jackson after the IARP decision came out, like, I asked him, if miracle worker was too strong of a label to put on him, because, you know, I think everybody assumed the worst was coming, when you're dealing with the NCAA, and Don Jackson, came through with flying colors for that. So I would not put anything as an outcome for DeAndre Williams' situation. I wouldn't put anything past it. I could easily see Don Jackson
92.9 FM,
his magic.
ESPN, Memphis' sports station. Sports station.
92.9 ESPN.
Apologize there, Jason.
No.
You keep going, brother.
I'm sorry. I could see Don Jackson, working his magic and getting this done. But based on the conversation that I've had with him and people who work in this space, it seems there are those who think it is an incredibly long shot. Don Jackson doesn't think that way. Don Jackson thinks that, if this is done fairly and justly, that DeAndre, there's no question he's going to get his year back. It's the NCAA, and so, all bets are off.
Yeah, and is it just sort of judge, jury, executioner time for them? Ultimately, will they view it through the academic qualifying standpoint? Because that's one thing I don't know. I said this yesterday. If it has to do with academic qualification, how forgiving are they in that situation?
Yeah, and Don, some of the things that Don was telling me is that he's going to, present as evidence, as part of DeAndre's case, that he got just the amount of bad advice that he got along the way is not his fault, and it should not be. He should not be penalized for the handiwork of others. Now, there are those who feel like, you know, why didn't you? You've had 5 years to apply for this extra year.
Yep.
You know, you could have done this in March. This could have been done as soon as the season ended, and you're sort of waiting until June to do this. And you know, there are those who feel like that wouldn't necessarily bode well, because as we all know, the NCAA does not do anything in an expeditious manner necessarily.
They don't. And
Don Jackson acknowledges that, up front. He's like, the way he put it to me was, he says he's worked with these sorts of things before. Like, he's helped others get years back, other athletes get years back by going through the NCAA. And he said, normally I like to have 3, 4, 5 months to prepare a presentation. He has a week. So, he acknowledges that he is up against the wall here. So there's certainly no guarantees.
How much, because you obviously talked to the university, I think other people have as well within the media, and they have said he's exhausted all eligibility. How much does that hurt or not hurt his case? Do you think that will come into question when the case is ultimately made? Your school didn't even think you had eligibility left.
Yeah, and again, going back to what I was saying before, technically he does not.
Right.
As we sit here today, until he gets relief, until, you know, the case is reconsidered and there's a judgment made, he technically does not have any eligibility left.
Correct.
But to answer your question, I think everything's on the table. I think everything is going to be examined and evaluated and pored over, academics included. Like, everything top to bottom is going to be, like I said, evaluated. And, I don't think anything's going to be off limits.
Talking with Jason Munns at Munsley, Tiger Basketball beat reporter for The Commercial Appeal. Now, DeAndre Williams getting back on campus, if ultimately he gets this waiver sort of accepted and he gets that extra year, it doesn't cure all evils, but it cures a whole hell of a lot. I would imagine this team, we put them right back into, and I know some people still have them in that conversation, even with the roster that I would view as incomplete right now, but I would view it as a tournament roster considering what he was able to do last year. 17-8-2, 54% from the field, 40% from three. I mean, he's an immediate, just ridiculous addition. When we look at the landscape of college basketball, when you want experience, you have more experience in DeAndre than anybody around the country.
I mean, like, I was going to ask you this. Like, if we were, you know, putting Memphis – you know, somewhere in the preseason rankings, just, it doesn't really matter where, like wherever right. You have him in the preseason rankings, how much do you think adding DeAndre Williams to the mix, how many spots do you think that moves them up?
Oh, God. 25, at 30, least, maybe even 40. I mean, I don't know.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say at least 25.
Yeah.
At least 25. He's that kind of, I mean, like, no, anybody who's listening to this knows that. Like, they, by now, are very well aware of what DeAndre Williams brings to the table. And going back to your point earlier, you're exactly right. He's not a traditional big. Yes, he's 6'9"-ish, 6'10"-ish. And he can rebound the heck out of the ball. He can block you some shots. He can, you know, all these things. He does a lot of things really, really well, but he's not that traditional true rim protector that they still lack. And so, you know, it's not a, as you say, cure-all, and he's not a traditional point guard, which some people contend they still need to go out and get a traditional point guard. And then, oh, by the way, there's still the situation with Mikey. Is he part of this team? Is he not going to be, no pun intended, the jury's still out on that.
Come on, that was some pun intended.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. But But, you know, like, I think it, let's just say Mikey gets to campus and DeAndre gets his waiver, you know, gets his year back. It's going to, talking strictly about DeAndre, like, he's going to help everybody around him. Like, he's that type of player. Not only you can't just measure him in what he brings to the table, 17 points, 8 rebounds, whatever it is. Like, he makes everybody else around him better. He's been here now for a lot of years. We've talked a lot this offseason about the turnover, the fact that only Jaden Hardaway and Chandler Lawson are coming back. Bringing somebody else into the mix who's been here for years would just be, priceless.
Yeah, and having a big freshman class too. You have a guy who's been in college basketball, has seen everything. You talked about his path here. He's seen everything. He could help those guys come along very quickly. Now, it was hidden by the DeAndre Williams stuff, but there was a 13 point per game score on campus this week.
True. David Jones.
Yesterday, outside of even the DeAndre Williams stuff, which really it blocks out the sun, I mean, there was some pretty good news. You have the Dayton transfer. I don't know how to say his name, Mike Sheriff Jumps. And then Olivier Kamwa, who's thinking about potentially has Memphis down in his final list. So,
four,
I mean, what's his name?
They call him Mongolian Mike.
Mongolian Mike.
Yeah.
There we go. But the smoke was there yesterday, even outside of DeAndre.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, which I think was a big welcome. I mean, I think if you took the DeAndre news away, I think, Memphis fans had good reason to get excited again yesterday. Like, it had been so long since there had been any news of potential additions that having those, you know, three names mentioned alongside Memphis was a big deal. One of them was on campus, David Jones. He was the 10th leading rebounder in the Big East last year. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's only 6'7", I think, maybe 6'8".
Yeah.
Played for St. John's last year, played for DePaul before that. If they're able to get him, that is a very, very big deal. He's not a true big. There's no doubt about that. But that would be big. The other two guys, I think the Tennessee guy is kind of like David Jones. He's like 6'8"-ish.
Stretch out to the three-point line. I remember Olivier Kamwa in that game against Duke in the tournament.
Right.
Was phenomenal.
Right.
He's the reason they won.
Yeah. Now, the other part of this is, like, let's say, again, DeAndre's not off the table yet, it doesn't sound like.
Right.
Where are these scholarships going to come from?
Yeah.
It's getting tight now. If you add DeAndre to the mix, like, it's getting real tight, especially if Mikey's still here. So,
I had counted. There was, like, one left. If you're still counting Mikey part of the fold.
Yes. If you're counting Mikey and let's, again, we're in hypothetical land here with DeAndre, I believe that would leave them with one.
Okay.
Now that is, you know, like, that's also contingent upon Jaden staying on scholarship. I guess it's a possibility, who knows? Like, maybe they could make something happen there, move him off scholarship. They've done it before. So, I wouldn't necessarily rule that out if you're trying to bring people in. And then, of course, Malcolm Dandridge is still out there. He hasn't gone anywhere yet. That's another wrinkle to this whole thing. I'll just say this. Somebody that I was talking to last week told me that, like, before all the DeAndre's with his mother and everything else, before all that started, that this was that DeAndre was thinking about appealing for an extra year, but only if Malcolm came back, because DeAndre doesn't want to have to play the five.
Right.
We'll see where the chips fall, man. It's going to be fascinating.
We will. Now, one thing real quick, we have about a minute. When do you expect sort of a answer, a distinction on what's going to happen with DeAndre?
Oh, man. I mean, it's in the NCAA's.
Right.
If it's in the NCAA's hands, I got no clue.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, you know, Don, the way he made it seem was they are hoping to, like, have their presentation, their appeal, ready to go by next week. Does that mean they're going to file it next week? We'll see. Does it mean, you know, could they file it early the next week? I don't know. But I do think they are hoping to act very, very quickly. And so, you know, if you're looking at it that way, I would think that we would hear at the latest, you know, like October. I don't know that the NCAA would just, like, rule on this immediately.
Yeah,
so
I get you.
Could be in for a long wait.
Well, either way, he is Jason Munz, at Munzley on Twitter. Turn those noties on so you can get all the new updated information on it. Jason, appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Thank you, Gabe.
Yes, sir. That is Jason Munz, Tiger Basketball Beat Reporter for the Commercial Appeal. Now it's time to blitz here on the other side. And we have some things to get into. NBA referee has a burner account. That'll be fun to talk about. Shannon Sharp is no longer going to be on Undisputed with Skip Bayless. And also, how healthy is college basketball? Zach Edey, the reigning, defending National Player of the Year, is going back to Purdue. And I think we need to address how healthy is college basketball. That'll be on the other side, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Disasters happen. And when disasters happen around the home, the office, residential properties, you have to call Service Master by Cornerstone. Not only is Service Master by Cornerstone the largest franchise in a 600-mile radius, but they also have been awarded Service Master's Franchise of the Year Award, meaning they're the number one Service Master store franchise in the U.S. of A. I hope none of these things happen. Water heater bust, you have water damage. AC goes out, it's on the fritz, you have water damage. You have a toilet that overflows, it busts. You have good old damage caused by a storm, there's a fire, and you have smoke damage, there's mold. Call Service Master by Cornerstone. No matter the place, no matter the size, they are here to help with the damage. Tyler, the president and owner of Service Master by Cornerstone, and his team are here to help you at these moments. No matter what the issue is, their motto is, we don't pray for disaster, we just pray we get called when there is one. So remember the name, locally owned, locally operated, Service Master by Cornerstone. The number you call if you have those disasters, if you have those issues, home, office, residential properties, that would be 901-RESPOND. 901-RESPOND for Service Master by Cornerstone. Now we are sitting here, Connor and I, in the beautiful, lovely Service Master by Cornerstone studio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
And it's time to hop into the Blitz.
Now, the biggest stories. Overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
All right, Gabe, jumping back into the NBA Finals. NBA referee Eric Lewis was not chosen as an NBA Finals ref
after being after his burner account was discovered, and now the NBA is investigating whether or not it is his burner account. What a story.
He was protecting himself with a burner. Where are you at on burner accounts, Connor? Have you ever had a burner account?
I have never personally had a burner account, but I understand why people in the public may have one.
Yes, and like I've heard of Finstas too, you know, like the fake Instagrams. They're real Instagrams, but you post your for your friends. It's a private account. I can't get this. He went under the name Blair Cutcliffe. I don't know. Who cares what it was? There was five followers or zero. There was five. He was following zero followers. And he just basically went on there day after day. And if he saw his name mentioned, he went in there and tried to give himself a reprieve. Here's my thing. He's 52 years old, brother. He's been in the league. He has been reffing NBA games for 18 years. Like, I understand. Like, I've heard the new era. KD's a big one with burner accounts. He got caught a couple of years ago because he didn't switch over, and he had to delete tweets, that whole thing. But he's relatively young. Jalen Green from the Rockets, I heard, has them. RJ Hampton says he has them. But 52 years old and you have a burner account to go protect yourself? Get over yourself, man. And the NBA holds the cards here. If this is actually his burner account, which it looks like it is, no NBA ref under NBA rules can comment on their officiating without NBA authorization.
Oh.
So they need to be cleared by the NBA to speak on certain calls and everything else. And clearly he didn't have that. I wonder what this ends in. This could potentially be a firing. This could potentially be a long, long suspension for him. But as of right now, he's not going to be part of the NBA Finals, which he's been part of the last 4 years. And Eric Lewis is not a guy, I think, referee-wise, that we know the name of. And usually if you know the name of somebody, that's not a good thing.
Right.
If you're an official. But this is just goofy. It is goofy all over the place. I 52 years old, and you feel the need to go on social media and protect yourself as an NBA official? Come on, man.
Yeah, I definitely think it's embarrassing for Eric Lewis. I'm not sure it's a fireable offense. I think, you know, maybe a suspension is warranted, but ultimately he was just defending himself on Twitter.
But the NBA
it's not
holds
that
the
big
cards
of a deal.
Here. Like, they hold
they
the
do.
Bargaining
they
chips.
They do. I just don't see the reason to like bring down the hammer on this guy. I do think that they could possibly suspend him though, but yeah, I'm not surprised that there's got to be other referees out there with burner accounts. My advice to them is comment on other things. Like, comment on other things that aren't just about Eric Lewis or just aren't about you. Well, you can just muddy the waters a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, mess up the trail.
He made it obvious.
Yes, he made it too obvious. If you're going to have a burner account, you have to make it to where you can't directly put it back on you because they're like, well, every single KD thing, this thing comments on, or every single Eric Lewis thing, this thing comments on. Now, for me, though, this is another reason, though. I think refs should have to do pressers. I don't understand why they don't. They have an effect on the game. I've always disliked people that have been like, referees never have an effect on a game. Yes, they do. I think that opinion is lazy, to be honest. And do referees decide if you win or lose a game? Well, that's a discussion. But if they definitely have an effect on it. They change.
Of course. I mean,
just look at all the Lakers games this year. It matters. Referees matter. So, I don't know. I think it's a silly story. I don't know if they're going to suspend him. But, well, dude, it's embarrassing for him for sure.
In your point about pressers, they could clear the air so he doesn't have to make his Finsta or his burner account to go protect himself online. But here's the other thing. And you can have a normal social media account, but if you're an NBA official, why do you need to get caught up in social media? There's never anything good said about NBA officials. Like, no one said, oh, great call. Absolutely great call. It's usually when you're doing bad things. And, of course, this was the Lakers fan base who did the digging on this, right?
Of course, because they did.
He officiated a bunch of Lakers playoff games, and there were some calls that they were disputing and getting angry over. So, of course, it was the Lakers fan base that dug this up. But I think, ultimately, if you're an NBA official, Why do you feel the need to really go look at what people are saying about you on social media? Let it go. Let it go. You have your job. You're fine. You're in no real predicament when it comes to if you make one bad call during a game. You're not going to get fired, but you will get
fired or potentially suspended if you go on and talk about your officiating on social media and have a burner account. It's just, it was a risk that doesn't seem worth taking in the slightest, but we'll see. We'll see what happens with Eric Lewis.
Cover your tracks, people. It's that simple. Cover your tracks.
Be harder to find.
Shannon Sharp has reached a buyout agreement with FS1, and his final appearance on Undisputed is expected to be after the NBA Finals.
How about it? Is he getting away from Skip? That's what it seems like. Yep, I believe it. Stephen A. Smith couldn't get away quick enough from Skip after all those years. It's just a natural progression of dealing with Skip Bayless. And if you've been looking on social media, and I know we're just talking about Eric Lewis and his fake social media, Shannon has been liking tweets about how Skip in the last two or three years have gone bad, gone sour because of things he said on air, off air, how he's treated Shannon. And I get it. He's very annoying. There's been multiple occasions over the years. Shannon Sharp is a NFL Hall of Famer. He was fantastic. He's fantastic. Tight end, great player. Yet Skip sits there and belittles him in NFL conversations. He knows more than you, Skip. I don't give a damn if you've been following for 55 years, 60 years, 70 years. You're 100 years old. You've been following it for all 100. I don't give a damn. He knows more than you. He's been part of it. But he consistently decided to belittle Shannon Sharp over the years. And Skip, for his partners, he's that guy you have to explain away at times. Like, you ever have that friend where someone has to open a conversation about them by saying, I know he's your friend and all, but... And then they follow it with, he's an idiot, he's a clown, he called my mom a bad name. You know, I know he's your friend, but that's who Skip is to Shannon Sharp at this point. And Shannon has had to deal with this since 2016. And I have to say, that's honestly a pretty damn good run sitting next to Skip Bayless for every single weekday. That's tough to do. But regardless, Shannon is at a point, and I don't like everything Shannon says. I think Shannon's pretty good in the media space, though. I really do.
I do, too.
Regardless, I think Skip Bayless has this thought that Shannon needed him for a while. Mm-hmm. Shannon has squeezed all the juice out of that situation, though. Shannon is his own guy. Shannon can make a name in the media space by himself. Club Shay Shay his podcast has 1.2 million subscribers. At this point, he's become his own media superstar. He's working on things outside of sports. He just had a really good interview with Steve Harvey that made waves. Like, he's really doing a good job for himself. He's entertaining. He's personable. He's more than equipped to get by without freaking Fox Sports and Skip Bayless. So this is just a natural progression of things. I will ask this, though. Who's next? Who has the job next, sitting next to Skip Bayless? Brandon Marshall? Manuel Acho? Who's next on Undisputed?
I don't know. I'm going to be honest.
He's 71, though, too. Maybe they just might progress away from that form of show.
I'm just not sure what the point of a Skip Bayless is anymore. And it's a conversation that we've been having over the last few weeks about sports TV becoming a dramatic sensationalism happening. I don't want to listen to a TV show where people are complaining and hating the entire time and making these conversations not about the games or making conversations about things that don't ultimately matter or having a LeBron Jordan conversation before the NBA fight. It's like, right. What are we doing here? It's, you know, and I don't blame Shannon because at some point you get tired of all the hate because every single thing Skip Bayless says is pretty much wrong. And it's that has to get old after a while when people are tweeting at you about how bad your show is because Skip is just, he doesn't use logic. He's being a character. And I think at some point it gets old. It's like, I understand being a character, but sometimes you have to be genuine. And I just don't think anything Skip says is genuine.
No, it's not. He has made a living off of taking the other side.
Yeah.
That's what he does, even if it's a bad side. And there was once a time where Skip Bayless for the Dallas Morning News was an awesome journalist, awesome columnist, like great. But he's just he's a caricature. He's a caricature at this point. But I do have to give some respect where respect is due. He's made a hell of a living doing this debate style stuff. And he's sort of like him and Stephen A. And, I think early in the 2000s we had Cold Pizza on ESPN. But he really has, I'm not going to say revolutionized because I think it was almost we devolved as a sports talking society with some of the things Skip Bayless has done over the years. But damn, he made a good living off of not being genuine and becoming a cartoon character. I don't have a whole lot of respect for it, but there's got to be some considering how much money he made from ESPN, from Fox Sports, after all these years doing what he did. We stuck with this sort of style, our morning debate shows. We've done it till now, and I think we're starting to move away from it, but it was a good 20-year run where Skip Bayless was sort of at the top of the industry in regards to the morning debate, afternoon debate shows.
I just much prefer a show like PTI.
Of course,
Where they're talking, they have debates, but they're natural. They're not built
natural
in
debates, right.
And they believe what they're actually saying. And I agree with you. Skip Bayless was revolutionary. He was huge for sports media. He really was, especially for TV. I thought when he was with Stephen A., it was actually a pretty good show because they would stay logical. And the first few years with Shannon, I thought that they stayed pretty logical. It's just been within like the last. Yeah, right? It's been within like the last. You know what really it is? It's the clipification of these shows.
Yes.
They're going for clips. They're going for clicks. And that's all. It has become pure clickbait. And that is when it turned for me. It was a couple years ago, like at the beginning of Shannon, I felt like those shows were pretty good. They had good energy. They talked about legitimate things. But like you said, it has turned into this weird thing where he just kind of bullies Shannon the whole time, and he doesn't take his opinion seriously.
And he doesn't bully him in a very smart or reasonable way.
Coming in here and telling you what college football is.
Right.
It would be ridiculous. Yes. And that's what that show is every single day. And it gets old. I'm not surprised by Shannon. And, you know, I don't know who steps into that. It would have to be someone that just wants to be famous. Honest to God.
Who? Kendrick. Who we got? Kendrick Burrow. That's
what it feels like.
God, but here's my thing is like how in this day and age, like Brandon Marshall would be one that makes sense for me too, but like at what point do we just feel like, okay, we've had enough? He's 71 years old. He needs to ride off into the sunset. He's made enough money. We don't have a use for you anymore, Skip. Realistically, he's not riding anymore. He's not doing his columns for the Dallas Morning News when he was still a good writer. You know, like that day and age is gone. Like I think we've moved past the use or need, and I think we've done it. It's been a while since we've moved past the use or need of Skip Bayless, but I think that day has come and gone.
I agree with you. The main problem for that, though, is every single waiting room you walk into or every single business you walk into, that show is playing.
Yeah,
it's on TV every day. And as long as that cash cow is still there, they're going to put somebody across from Skip.
Yep. So you think KP?
I don't know. I'm also ignorant on contract situations, so please do not take this as a prediction. I am just saying I feel like Kendrick would, one, be willing to deal with the BS of Skip, and two, he kind of fits the mold, I think, of where that show has kind of gone.
Yeah. I'm done with it.
Just take it back like old Yeller. Just
yeah, take it out back, man.
Finally, reigning National Player of the Year Zach Edey has announced that he is returning to Purdue, and this brings up an interesting point about the health of college basketball. How healthy is it?
College basketball, I think, is reasonably healthy, and I understand transfer portal and, you know, trying to keep a team together, you can get hurt in regards to year. You don't know what your roster's going to look like. We see that with Penny Hardaway. We see that with Juwan Howard. We see that with John Calipari. Like, you just don't quite know what it's going to look like. And the product you have at each individual institution may be hurt by that. But all this negative NIL talk is what I want to focus on. It's fallen on deaf ears in the college basketball realm for me. And you have more continuity with your star power than we've had in the past. Since one and done, you have guys leaving quickly. Now that you have NIL, Zach Edey's back, Oscar Tshiebwe returned for another year last year, Hunter Dickinson's still around. For God's sakes, we're talking about DeAndre Williams coming back for a seventh year.
Like, oh, yeah.
It, once upon a time, those guys would opt for professional money wherever they could get it because it wasn't available to them in college, right? Once upon a time. Is the system perfect? No, absolutely not. Very few things are. But on the flip side, does it facilitate a more understandable product in the fact that you help create personalities, you have extra star power? Yes, I do believe that about college basketball in this day and age. And the women's game last year, for example, and I think we've been building to this for a while, but would you say it thrived, the women's game?
It felt like it broke through in a way.
It thrived.
Yeah.
Why is that? I'll ask that question. Angel Reese, Haley Van Lith, Caitlin Clark, hanging around for 4 to 5 years. That's why you see it thriving in the way that it has. And now you're seeing, to a certain extent, obviously you still have the one-and-done guys that move on quickly because they're going to be lottery picks, but you're seeing that more often on the men's side. There are players you can sell. There are players you can watch. There are players that are more entertaining coming back to school. So I think ultimately we're in a weird, imperfect space in college athletics as a whole. But college basketball, I think, is relatively healthy when we look at the grand scheme of where we've been the past 20 years.
I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. The one thing that I have found interesting, though, and I'm not sure if you really have a strong take on this, is that it feels like that the National Player of the Year in college basketball, though, sometimes has a hard time finding a spot in the NBA. And I've always found that curious.
The past three are Luka Garza, Oscar Tshiebwe, and Zach Edey.
Right.
Right. Like, they're just really good, solid, fundamental basketball players that do dirty work, get rebounds, hang out by the rim, try to get finishes. Like, that's what you're seeing from those guys. And that's why they come back to school. But there was a day and age where even those guys, after winning National Player of the Year, they'd say, well, I'm not making money in college. My draft stock, my professional stock's as high as it can possibly go. Let me get the hell out.
Right.
Like, even those guys in the past would have said, let me go to the NBA
sell
and get
high.
The money I
yeah.
can. But now these guys are coming back because they can make more money in NIL than they can in the G League or can foreign. And they don't have to go to Serbia. And they don't have to go to Kazakhstan to play basketball. So, I mean, ultimately, I just look at the college basketball space and I see it as pretty damn healthy. Pretty damn healthy. Now, we do have player movement, but I think that even adds an extra oomph. It adds a little bit more to the sellability. You have a star that goes from West Virginia to Texas, you know, or West Virginia, they go in conference, Kentucky to, you know, Alabama. You have different transfers that do that. I think that adds to sort of the back and forth, the drama that you see year to year in college basketball. It's helpful. I think it's ultimately helpful. Now, we need to go ahead and put a wrap on this show. We'll do that next as we get to the Rewind on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Now it's the Rewind. Now we
play a battle of Rewind.
Brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. Rewind on 92.9.
So DeAndre Williams could return to Memphis. Needs a waiver from the NCAA because of his first year at Evansville. He was a non-qualifier, so we're going to have to litigate that again and see what happens. But if he does make his way back, we're talking about immediate impact, conference player of the year type, all AAC without a question. And I think if he gets added to this roster, back in the tournament, no question. I mean, NCAA allows another year through a waiver. We're feeling pretty good about where we're at. We also need to talk, and we always talk, about Penny having something up his sleeve all the time. That's never been more true than now. Good God, man. Bringing back a 27-year-old for his seventh year of eligibility. It may not work out, but it doesn't stop Penny from trying, at least, to go create some miracles. Now, NBA Finals Game 1 is on the way. It's a mismatch on paper, but I have said that hasn't mattered for the Heat thus far. They beat the Bucks. They beat the Celtics, the two best teams in the NBA's regular season, teams that were favored to go win the NBA Finals. And who am I to doubt if they can go do it again? I have picked Nuggets in 6, but that's just common sense. But common sense has not prevailed throughout these playoffs, so we'll see what happens. Also, Monty Williams gets absolutely paid, highest paid coach in the NBA, to go to Detroit. Pistons made an offer that he could not say no to. He's a good coach. He's a franchise builder. He's a winner. It's good on the Pistons for investing, but my God, they invested a whole lot. Now, if you want to play back the whole show, download the Odyssey app and search 92.9 ESPN.
What's the biggest game tonight? Presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
I wonder what that could be.
Yeah, the biggest game tonight's definitely going to be NBA Finals Game 1 in Denver. Altitude is going to be present tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes!
So, this spread right now is Denver -9. That feels like a trap to me. It was very similar to the Celtics Heat line from Game 1, and the Heat beat the absolute crap out of the Celtics. So, I think Denver's going to win tonight. I know the money line is 385, but I'm taking it. That's what I'm going with. I believe that they're going to win.
I'll say this, the
spread feels like a trap. I can't do it.
That's so much juice to take on the money line when you don't trust the spread. You get what I'm saying by that? Like, that is so much juice. Where are you watching the game at? What are you doing?
So I'm not going to be able to watch the game live because I have very important business DVR. Tonight. Spider-Verse comes out, the second Spider-Verse. I have to be in the seats for that. I will be seeing that in IMAX. I will catch the game post-Spider-Verse.
What's it, Miles Morales?
You're damn right. Miles Morales and sounds like every Spider-Man iteration we've ever had. I cannot wait. It's going to be phenomenal.
So you're going to get it on TiVo.
TiVo?
Good old TiVo. Recording it on TiVo.
On Xfinity.
Yes. Recorded on Xfinity.
Send me the check.
Fast forward.
We await more details on DeAndre Williams. I'm sure we'll have a review of course we will. Spider-Verse. See what Miles Morales is up to. But we'll have reaction to the NBA Finals, and we'll have plenty more where that comes from. That's a wrap for today, though. Thanks to David Cobb and Jason Munns for their contributions to today's program. We'll meet back here at the same time tomorrow for a Friday show. But in the meantime, I'll pass you off to Joe and Amber. For Connor, I'm Gabe. Be easy, be safe, and enjoy the rest of your night.
WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, celebrating a legacy of sports as the flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers Talk. Always live on the Odyssey app and on smart speakers. Say, play 92.9 ESPN.
Attention BetMGM customers.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.